welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully, sweetie. Everything is great. I'm feeling, invigorated because I'm going to be moving into a bigger dwelling than what I'm currently living in. And a couple of things are going to be more convenient for me. I don't want to get too specific, but a couple of things are going to be a bit easier for me. Of course, it's tremendously more money, but you know, you have to pay for the things in life that you want. Well, somebody's got to pay for them.
You're right.
I'm feeling good. It's going to be a hectic, you know, next couple of weeks between this week and the first week of August. Going to be pretty hectic for me. But, you know, when the dust settles, I'm going to be good. So I'm feeling happy. How are you feeling, sweetie?
I'm feeling good. You know, as I told you before in a previous episode, that it's going to be all about the in-laws family for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, I know you're looking forward to that. All the wonderful activities.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so great. That is so wonderful.
And we
they have a lovely place. So they have a beautiful
They do. They have
just so nice.
They definitely have a beautiful place. We might sneak off on our boat. Don't tell anybody.
Do they know you don't have another boat?
No, they don't. It's a secret.
Listen, don't do anything I wouldn't do. That means you are free to eat and drink and be as raunchy as you would like.
Speaking of raunchy, let's tell everybody what we are sipping on today. And today we have some whiskey. I think it's a whiskey type of day, right? And
today is a whiskey day. It's what, 108, 9, 10?
Well, yeah, something like that.
Today is a whiskey day. All right, sweetie.
All right, so this
name
is
that bottle.
So this is, we've had this before, Uncle Nearest, and it's Black owned and woman owned. And Fawn Weaver, you know, she has a commercial. So congratulations to her.
Lead us in with the toast. Okay. Long life, prosperity, health, wealth, happiness. And for you Texans or those in areas where the temperatures exceeds 100 degrees for the last 2 or 3 weeks, stay cool and stay hydrated. Salud.
Salud.
Oh, this is great. Woo. Thank heavens for air conditioning.
I don't know how whiskey can be refreshing, but that was refreshing. Okay, so this is a pop culture edition, but we really need to talk about Better Call Saul before we get into the quote unquote pop topics.
Better Call Saul. Yeah.
So you know what was trending?
Too hot.
So Kim Wexler was trending, and it's because a lot of people want to know, was that the end of the Kim Wexler storyline? Because for those who have not watched it, if you haven't watched it, you can, you know, just fast forward this and come back to this section. Kim Wexler and Jimmy, they broke up. And she was the one who initiated the breakup. And she kind of, you know, confessed to, she quit the bar. And she confessed to knowing that Lalo, that she knew he was alive for over a month. So, Ma, what are your thoughts? Do you think this is the last of Kim Wexler? What did you think about last episode?
I don't think this is the last of her. I think she's going to come back she really needs to come back in person. I'm sure she's going to come back in some sort of cameos, or whether it's going to be flashback kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or whether she's going to come back, you know, in real time, mm-hmm. you know, but I'm hoping that she's going to come back in real time, because I feel like her character didn't provide us with any kind of closure. It was just, I quit the bar and, you know, Jimmy, I'm going into deep with you. And it was okay when it was just fun, but, you know, I'm going deeper than I want to go. And, you know, in other words, she had an awakening and, you know, felt that she was just becoming too totally depraved and unethical and everything else.
Which,
you know,
she was.
And it was, and oh man, she was super cutthroat. And she didn't like the person that she had become. So she not only quit him, she quit the bar first, mm-hmm. because she felt as if she was doing a disservice, you know, to everyone. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, she was. She helped some people, but she was, you know, nah, she was very corrupt. So mm-hmm. obviously, and you know, I do think she'll be coming back. And then she left Jimmy. Was it in part Jimmy's fault? Yeah, in terms of him having a negative influence on her, because obviously she's an adult, but she went beyond him. She pushed a couple of things further, pushed the envelope a bit further than he did, you know, so it was a lot.
The way she was empowered.
That whole thing.
I was just going to say, and then last night, the way she gaslit Howard's widow, that was just terrible. She knows that Howard wasn't on drugs, and she was just trying to cover up for her involvement in his death and obviously Jimmy's involvement, but hers in particular. Oh my gosh, you know, I love the character, but I don't like what Kim has become, because Kim was too smart, you know, to behave the way that she's behaved.
And she was putting herself in grave danger, yeah. You know, and you know, she was thinking, well, I'm even smarter than Jimmy. But like I said, Jimmy was more about self-preservation than she was, because she was out there wild, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, just, you know, fortunate for her, she survived it all, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think she'll be, in answer to your question, I think she'll be coming back in some form. I don't think they're finished with her character yet.
And
I think the public wants to see her, and she was a huge part of the show.
Yeah, she was too big of a part of the show in order for them to just, like, you know, 4 more episodes to go. And I want to see some more Kim. The other big reveal, I don't know if it was a reveal, but we focused on Gus a little bit in this episode. And Gus was, it was funny with Gus, because Gus had a little incident with the waiter, and that was really cute. And it seemed as though that was really one of the few times that we've seen Gus be like a normal person. You know, he let his hair down. He was kind of relaxed and chill with the waiter. He was talking about
wine. Enjoying his vintage wine.
And it seemed like he was going to hook up with that guy.
And sort of proposing a date. Well, you know what? The sommelier also was being very friendly with Gus, because mm-hmm. he was saying, oh, I'd like to be there for that special occasion when you open that special bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. Remember?
I remember.
I'd like to be there when it happens. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gus was receptive, but then he started to think about it and think how vulnerable he was and how dangerous his whole situation is. And he, you know, says, oh, you know, he tells one of the wait staff, you know, let him know that whatever his name was, I forget. Let him know that I've been called away. And he left. He wanted to, but he thought the better of it. You know, he wanted to go there, and he was attracted to the sommelier, but sommelier, however you pronounce it, right? I'm close to it.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and that's close enough, right? So it was good. It was very interesting. I like seeing him in that role. Of course, we know we don't get a lot of that kind of thing from Gus, but I liked it. It added flavor to, you know, to the story. I loved it.
Gus was the man that everyone, if you remember from Breaking Bad, as he's dying, once he killed Hector, right? Once he killed Hector, he adjusts his tie to make sure his tie is straight. So this man is all about being in control. And really, Hector is his only real weakness.
So I
thought it was an excellent episode.
And pursuit of Hector, it, you know, caused his demise.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So
And it was cute. There was a little comic relief with Hector and Dawn. What's his name? Eladio. That was cute. Yeah. I thought that was with the bell and everything. But
John said, I'm sick of hearing him ring that bell.
Right.
What he said, what he told Gus, he said, I would ask you to stay overnight too, but I don't want to hear that bell going off in the morning in my head. You know, it was so funny.
But guys, remember, and you know, I'll leave you with this unless you want to say something else. My Don Eladio is the man that killed Gus's lover, his partner from many years ago when they were young. So Gus, you know, has that in Gus his hates head
him.
Too.
Gus hates him. Yeah. You know, that's just it. However controlled Gus is, Gus hates him. Mm-hmm. And the Don Eladio knows that.
Oh yeah.
You know, he knows that.
He dies in Breaking Bad, doesn't he? But doesn't Gus
he dies in Breaking Bad. He dies in Breaking Bad. Yes, he does. And I think if I recall correctly, it was something around that pool.
Yeah.
Around that swimming pool. Whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So let's move.
Better Call Saul. Sizzling hot.
Guys, I would binge it if you haven't watched it or behind binge
and it. You will enjoy it. You will enjoy it. Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to really some pop culture, Ma. So I don't know if you heard.
Well, you know, I've been too absorbed with my own stuff to be, you know, really keeping up with that. What's going on, daughter? Let me know what's happening.
Well, J-Lo and Ben Affleck got married, Ma. They got married in Vegas.
Somehow that news did seep into my consciousness. How did you hear that?
So, Ma, listen, they got married July 16th in Vegas, and apparently J-Lo got married in an old movie dress that she wore, or it's from an old movie, not 100% sure.
Or one of her old marriages.
Oh, yeah. And so 20 years after the first engagement to Ben Affleck, are you surprised that she got married in Vegas and we didn't hear about it before she actually took her vows?
Okay, that's a two-part question. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised we didn't hear about it immediately before she got married, but I am not surprised she got married.
Okay.
I'm not surprised the two of them got married because look, they've been around the world, okay? The two of them, they've been around the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And if after all that time, they still found something that sparked between the two of them, why not? You only go around once. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, they still look good and got plenty of money.
And they're feeling good.
Yeah.
And they were both single. It wasn't like they were having an affair. They were both unmarried at the time, you know. I mean, J-Lo, she's had some very public marriages and romances.
Well, she did just break up with A-Rod, but that was him.
Moving on. And I don't even know if she liked him. You know, she's such a publicity hound. I don't even know what that was. But anyway, okay. But whatever, they look lovely together. They look attractive and everything together. So that was good. But now, hold on. Ben, he's been married. He's got his three children with his ex, and she seems to be doing very well, and she's looking good and keeping herself together as well. Mm-hmm. And Ben, he had to do a little bit of time in the rehab, you know, because he let his drinking go too far, you know. And so he went and he dried out enough that he seems to know what he's doing now. I don't know, relapse is always possible, but he seems pretty good right now.
He does.
And so they, you know, like I said, they've been around the world. So now they come back and they, you know, find each other and they are still attracted to each other or whatever. So I think that's lovely. Love makes the world go round. That's wonderful. And I tell you one thing, I see a little bit of growth in her. I don't disengagement thing when you are in your 50s. I don't know about no bull crap.
Well, look, hold up. Not the age. It's the fact that she's been married multiple times.
Hey, I'm going to say it's both. Cut the kid. Well,
because, listen, if you have never been married before.
I'm a young woman myself, so I might get engaged too. I mean, what the heck? I've been married a couple of times too. So, you know, I mean, I do.
Ma.
I think I agree with you now that you mentioned it. It's not the age.
No, it's not the age.
You're trying to tell me because I've been married a couple times, I'm not supposed to get engaged.
Listen, no, I didn't say
can what I say I'm yes saying or no? To you. That's no. Now you're being a politician. Now you're going into your politics mode. Oh no. Oh my God. This answer gonna take an
okay,
hour.
Okay, never mind. Go let's go.
No, listen, daughter. All jokes aside.
I'm part, happy for her, Ma.
I'm
happy for the both of them.
Both of them, me too. You know, and I think she learned not to tell every doggone thing with her big mouth.
You know, I know how to do that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know you know how to keep a secret. But for J-Lo, she never did. J-Lo was telling everything. I was so happy that they went on and got married. Wherever they got married, it's a legal marriage, wherever they did it. And it's wonderful. I'm glad she kept that and didn't have anybody.
Vegas. They got married in Vegas.
The kids were there. The kids were there. All of their kids were there. His three and her two. The kids were there. And Jennifer Garner went over and somewhere local. She went and vacationed. You know, oh yeah, that was all. Oh yeah, oh, I didn't tell you I had seen that part too.
I listen. I didn't. Look, I'm not saying anything. Let me just say this, Ma. I think it. I'm happy to see that. I believe in love. I also like how J-Lo handled this. I don't want to just put everything on her, but you know, usually it's the woman who always is. Spearheading what to do regarding the wedding.
Social media thing.
Right. And yeah, so I'm happy that she just went on and got married. And after you got married, if you want to blast it to the world, go ahead. But for your own mental health, it was good that you didn't put everything out, let on to anything until after.
But you know what? But yeah, you're right. But you know, but another thing too, maybe she learned that from what happened before.
I know.
But I'm not going to say anything. Okay, keep it moving.
All right. So let's move on to somebody, really one of your friends, hopefully, even though we don't really agree with anything that he says, maybe he'll be one of the sponsors for the show. Okay. So Elon Musk, we know that he's being sued by Twitter and because he backed out of the Twitter deal. So anyway, Elon Musk has a father, Errol Musk, who is 76 years old. And whom Elon has been estranged from for years. He fathered two children with his 35-year-old stepdaughter. One child is five. The other one was born in 2019, either two or three, depending on when they were born in 2019. Elon said Errol was abusive to his mother in front of them as children, and Elon cannot stand his father. He doesn't have anything to do with him. And finding out that his father had two children with his stepdaughter didn't make Elon care anymore for his father. So Errol Musk and May, Elon's mother, divorced in 1979, and Errol remarried in 1992. And the wife had a daughter, Jana, who was already four at the time, and he raised her. They stayed married for 18 years. So his stepdaughter that he has two children with, Errol Musk, he raised her from the ages to four until...
Okay, so he's the Woody Allen depraved pig.
Correct. And him and his wife, his second wife that he's, I don't know if they're still together or not. His second wife, they have two children. They have two more children, not including Jana. And he says that his daughters were shocked by the relationship as Jana is the half sister of his two children. Of his other two children.
Yeah.
Ma, what are your thoughts on this behavior?
None. I just gave him to you. He's a depraved pig, like Woody Allen. You know, that's all.
Do you think there should be laws against this?
There probably are. I mean, who's enforcing them? A lot of laws are on the books and nobody enforces. And then I don't know what country this is.
Are they in South Africa? I wonder.
I don't know. I know they're from South Africa. I don't know if they're still there. I don't know. Of course it's depraved. It's something that is very destructive to the family, the institution of familyhood as we know it. Of course, it's very depraved, you know. So, I mean, what do you want me to say? There's nothing good to say about that old freak man. And then, you know, they all went along with it because it's about the dollar bill. You know, she didn't want him, you know, but hey, she's putting a lock on her money. That's all. She's putting a lock on her money. It's just that plain and simple. So, And it's real, it's it really is sad. It's a sad, you know, commentary, you know, on human beings that they can behave that way and have no qualms about it. So
yeah, I really and truly, I agree with you, Ma. I think that Errol, I wish that we have laws. I don't know if we have laws here, but I know in general, it should be universal laws. If you raise a child as your own, that you should not obviously molest them or have any type of sexual intercourse with them. And it's just sad. And then, you know, obviously the one thing that he said that kind of went viral was that all human beings, what human beings are here for is to reproduce. What are your thoughts on that?
That doesn't mean, I don't want to go too much with them because it's just like a bunch
okay. of pigs. We can move on.
I'm just going to say that, I mean, we spend a whole lot of time on this and we know those people think that they are above and beyond everything and, okay. and you know, the laws that govern, you know, regular human beings don't apply to them and so on and so forth. And what he said was is ridiculous. Who's going to pay for him? Who's going to take care of him? Because he has a lot of money he amassed from wherever, whatever source, at whose ever expense, you know, doesn't mean that other people can. You should reproduce responsibly, you know, based on your ability, your financial and emotional ability to care for children, not just reproducing because you have the physical ability to reproduce and not reproducing with your family. Okay. You know, so yeah. I mean, I have nothing else to say. I agree with Elon. I'm estranged from him.
Keep
moving.
I agree. So let's move on. So Kevin Samuel's cause of death was revealed that he passed away from hypertension. He was 57 and he was taking medication for high blood pressure. Unfortunately, there were some people on the internet who had some comments that I personally thought were inappropriate. Kevin Samuel said, this is from some people on Twitter, of fat BW, that's Black women, have no value and they're going to die single. And then there is the meme or GIF of Usher when, you know, that one kind of went viral where Usher's like, watch this, watch this. And then a couple other ones were similar to
me. Watch this, watch this.
That Kevin Samuel was going to pass away
of
being single. People understand that.
You
mean to tell me Kevin Samuels died from hypertension after building his platform attacking fat women and saying their health was failing? So this is kind of the similar tweets that we saw when the information was released about his death, Ma. Do you think this is fair for people to attack him in the manner in which they did? Just kind of want to know what you thought about that. And also they got mad at some people were mad because there was like a couple of people who labeled him as a Black leader.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on
that? I don't know anything about being any kind of leader. I know he was Black. I saw that part.
He was Black.
The leader part, I take issue with. I mean, you know, you have some people that will follow anyone. So I'm sure he had some followers, but, you know, whether or not we could refer to him as a Black leader, I think that's misleading. I think many things. I think what Usher said, the reason I zeroed in on the Usher thing, I don't know if he meant he was predicting that he would die like that himself, that he was predicting that Kevin Samuels would die like that himself, or that he was saying, look at what did happen to him.
Look at what did happen to him.
Look at what did happen to him.
Yeah, it's almost like hold my beer, but it's
chickens came home to roost. We got the whole thing. Okay, yeah. that's where, well, that is really not so cruel because a lot of people would say that is what happened. You know, commenting on what did happen and wishing that on somebody is two different things, is a different level of cruelty. No, just observing it, saying, look what happened to him, is maybe just an observation of saying it was karma.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that I wish that on you. That just means, in my opinion, you brought that on yourself. It doesn't mean that I'm wishing that on you. And that's two different things. Because when we talk about karma, That's what I think you brought. That's me commenting on what I think is your bad behavior. That's not me wishing you dead. That's because you were so nasty, you wished other people dead, or you predicted that other people were going to die, and now look what happened to you. That's a kind of different level of cruelty, and it's not really the same. It's more of an observation and an assessment. Mm-hmm. But to say, I read things like people said, oh, the trash took itself out.
Well, Ma, that is not where we were going with that. What we were going with it was, are these people being inappropriate by bashing him?
Okay. Okay. So do I think these people are being inappropriate? I don't know what you mean by inappropriate. Do I think they're being cruel?
They're being cruel. Do you think they're being cruel?
Yes, 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 they're being cruel.
I don't,
because death is not a cruel trick that was played on Kevin Samuels. Right. Death is coming to all of us.
That's what I don't understand.
They were also being foolish, you know? So that's coming to all of us. But what I think is that so many people were so offended by what he said, they just took it to an altogether different level.
Well, I didn't
so offended by what he said, whether it was true or not. He had a very cruel delivery. He mm-hmm. wasn't Mr. Sensitivity, and he wasn't Mr. Consideration. It isn't that I didn't agree with a lot of things that he said, but I think he was very cruel and very harsh. I think he was very extreme about what he said. Kept talking about Kevin Samuels.
I know what you're talking about, Mom.
Okay. I think Kevin Samuels was very cruel in his delivery and so forth. And I think he just sort of hurt some people's feelings, you know, I thought he just did it to be exploitive. Well, I'm just thinking he was just trying to make money and didn't care what he said to make it.
That's my thing. I think, like, at the end of the day, he was just trying to earn a living, and he saw where he can make plenty money. Unfortunately, in the culture that we live in, being mean sometimes pays a lot of money.
There's a payoff. Because people, you know, get out their evil sentiments vicariously through someone else saying it, of course. Yeah.
But
those people I felt were inappropriate. If I didn't make that clear, if I didn't answer your question, I think that they were being inappropriate and insensitive in the same manner that he was.
But yes, Ma, I agree with everything you said. What I wanted to say was that this whole thing where a couple people or whoever people said that he was a leader, he is not a Black leader.
Think that's a consensus opinion.
No, I don't think so. It just was trending, but I obviously don't think that was like the consensus, or, you know,
and I don't know why people have to, when we see the man is Black, I don't know why you had to say a Black leader, because if he was a leader at all, he was a Black one.
That's true. I also think, you know, obviously a lot of things that he said were mean and cruel. He's no longer here. We don't really need to, you know, just bash him all the time. I also believe that when somebody passes away, we don't need to make it seem as though, you know, they were an angel or they were some godlike, you know, a figure, but don't need to make people feel like they were like evil devils when there was people who were way worse than Kevin Samuel that passed. Yeah. Okay. And no one really says anything really bad about them. So just the man is gone. If you're born, you're going to die, you know? So that's just
for me. Did you get my answer to that question?
What was your answer, Ma? I felt that you said a lot. What was your answer?
But did I give you my answer?
Go ahead. What's your answer?
You said, did I feel they were being inappropriate?
You did say that.
I felt they were being cruel. I don't know if I zeroed in on inappropriate. I don't know if it was inappropriate, but I felt it was cruel.
You felt it was cruel. You're right. Yeah. I asked, was it inappropriate? My bad. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to something that really was a lot of backlash on the internet, Sesame Place. Now, I remember going to Sesame Place, Ma, as a little girl. Has Sesame Place gone racist is what some people want to know. There was a video that showed an employee in a Sesame character costume, and she seemingly ignored two small Black girls.
It was a woman?
Well, we don't know if it was she. They ignored. Okay. We don't know what it was. It was the character ignored. Two little girls in backpacks waiting along the side of the parade, and a person in a costume makes their way down. Before reaching the girls, the character gives out high fives to another small child and an adult who both appear to be white. But when it came to Black girls, they did not seem very engaged. They waved them off.
Away. Yes. Just shoot them away. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And some celebrities are very upset, including Kelly Rowlands. But
Let me tell you something. I don't know if that's an indictment of Sesame Place, or if it's that individual. Right. You know what I mean?
Because Sesame Place has apologized twice, man. Just want to let you know that.
Yeah, you know, because Sesame Place has been around a long time, and they have never had that.
So it's Mansion.
Never had that. But they, Mansion, we didn't never see him as being warm, but that's a whole nother story. Back to Sesame Place, we never knew or thought of Sesame Place as being unfriendly to children. Mm-hmm. We always thought of them as being warm, and in fact, Sesame Street was pretty inclusive. You know, Sesame Street always had that reputation. So I don't want to say that this is an indictment against the entire Sesame Place, Sesame Street brand. I don't want to say that. I would want to say that it is that individual, because we have not heard of this happening frequently. Now, if we start to hear this, a pattern of this, now we can go for the jugular.
Do you think that person being racist?
I think that person, I'm not really sure. It didn't look good. That's all I know. It didn't do that. Now talk about, back to your term, inappropriate. That person was inappropriate. That person should have given the kids a little hug, a little pat, a little fist pump, a high five, or whatever they were doing. Some should have been more welcoming, however they did it. I think that person was absolutely inappropriate. It's a kiddie place, and that's where they generate their income. You know, so that person should not have behaved that way.
And Kelly Rowlands was not happy about it. Even she commented on it. But one of the things that Sesame Place did was, initially they released a statement and they mentioned something about the height, that they couldn't see kids of a certain height because of the way the costumes were constructed. And that didn't go over well. So they issued a second apology and they talked about.
So you mean to tell me that the person couldn't see?
Right.
You know, a lot of people shorter than me. I mean, not that many people are shorter than me, but I can see people shorter than me. I can see them.
Well, they
and people taller than me and everything, all different sizes. I can see babies.
Do you have on that costume, Noah?
Costume? My eyes can go up and down and to the left and to the right. I don't have
I'm just joking. They sound crazy.
Now they're getting ready to make me mad with them now, because they
issued a second apology, Ma, in which they said that they were going to do better and that they were going to, you know, commit themselves to making sure this is right and conduct better training for the employees and to better understand and deliver an all-inclusive environment. And I never thought, like you said, I always thought of Sesame Street. I loved Sesame Street as a child, and I like Sesame Place. So they better get it together.
They never had that reputation. So I'm going to give them a pass, because to my knowledge, they don't have that history. And I know when you were a little kid and I used to take you there, they didn't have that history, because I would have never taken you there. So they didn't have that history.
Mm-hmm. That's what you say. Okay. No, I'm joking, Ma. I'm joking.
Right. That's what I know.
No, I know. I know.
Too many other places to take you. I'm not saying the founders weren't racist or this or that, because if you know, you can't go back too far without running into that, okay? I'm not saying whatever, you know, but I am going to say they did not have that reputation for treating children in a cruel or insensitive way. They did not have that reputation.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to a reality show. One of the former contestants from Love is Blind on Netflix is actually suing Netflix because they feel as though the producers encouraged the cast to drink alcohol while limiting any access to food and water and underpaying them. So the contestants,
so they were drunk and hungry and broke.
Yes. So the contestants were getting $1,000 a week stipend, but they were sleep deprived with no water, and they didn't have access to their hotels too often because they were working for 20 hours plus at a time.
Yeah. And they couldn't get a water or food.
No, this is what the guy is claiming by. One of the things is that the contestant that was on the show was on there for less than a week. And you know, after he failed, this is what the Love is Blind said. After he failed to develop a significant connection with any other participant. They said, you know why?
You know why? Because if there's any legitimacy to that one, let me tell you how he screwed up. If there's anything legitimate about that, that's going to be a class action suit.
Oh, they're trying to get people in the class action suit. So trying and doing
is two different things. If you get enough people, you got your class action suit. If you don't, then it's bogus. Okay?
That's true.
Yeah.
This is in California, and you know how it is in California. I love California, but listen, as a business owner, I know it could work both ways.
A bunch of laws and so many laws that protect them. I know because you know, because you're always talking about when you do jobs in California, you know how much protection it is for your staff, you know? Yeah. Oh, no.
But I love California. Let me just say that. We love California.
California protects their employees a lot.
Yes.
More so than all the other states. Right. California is known to protect their employees.
So you kind of barking up the wrong tree.
Listen, I know you wanted to come up, but you know, you barked up the wrong tree, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to another person who was in the news. I know you know this gentleman, Mr. Jay Ellis from Insecure.
Lawrence, right.
So he tied the knot in Italy, in Tuscany.
After dating
Nina Sinicar for 5 years, and they also have a child. So he posted his wedding photos on Instagram.
And
he decided to turn off his comments. So Twitter was not happy about him doing that. And they noticed that and they let him have it. Because his wife is white, and she's not just white.
She's white, but she's really not that attractive either.
Oh, I think she's nice looking.
Oh, maybe this is a different one.
She's nice looking. His wife is very attractive. I think she's nice looking. You're thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of Omari
Hardwick's wife.
Ma. All right, listen.
Hardwick, right. Okay. No, never mind. No, I'm sorry. Oh, who are we talking about? Jay Ellis. Go ahead.
Yes. So anyway, to make a long story short, another reason why people were mad at him is because he became popular from film and TV, which featured predominantly Black casts. And that he doesn't really post any pictures of the woman who's been in his life for 5 years that he wound up marrying and has a child with. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Nothing. Nothing. His private life and his professional life are separate. So be it. You know, with some people they merge. In his case, is separate, and he's doing whatever is financially expedient for him. You know, that's not much different than what's that little chubby one that used to be on Cosby, Raven Simone. They ain't no different than Raven Simone. Talking about she's not Black, but she's been playing Black. She's been taking money for playing little Black girls for all her life. She taking money for being on Blackish.
What does that have to do with Jay Ellis?
Not necessarily embracing their Blackness on some different level. And that's what it is.
Why is he not embracing his Blackness?
Oh, okay. Maybe he is. So what is this conversation about? What
does that mean?
What is this conversation about?
No. You can marry and date whoever you want and still embrace your Blackness.
But he is not embracing the fact that he made his money playing, a super Black lover or stud or whatever the hell he was supposed to be with Issa.
What? I think you're messing up now. I'm not messing up.
You back it up. That's what it is. You're backing up. That's all. I ain't messing up. You back it up.
No. So. Okay, here's what I would say. People need to mind their business about whoever people date and marry. You date and marry whoever you want to, as long as they are of legal age.
That's what you're trying to say. And that's what you're trying to say, but that ain't what you said, but okay.
No.
But that is what people need to do. And so why is anybody concerned about him? All half of them, the men, women, and everything else have partners who are different race. So that's not a big
deal. Right. What is
the men, the women, the common.
And he didn't want negativity. Else. He turned his comments off because he didn't want people bothering him.
Maybe Taraji wrote in or said something. In the meantime, the rest of the world is going with whoever they go with, you know.
Yeah, just let people live their life. If that's who he loves, please, okay? I feel.
To me, you got to embrace, as long as you love yourself, you just embrace your own personal, whatever it is, your blackness, your whiteness, your beigeness, your Latino, your Asian, your Indian, you embrace whatever you are, about yourself, for your self-pride, your self-worth, your self-respect. Now, who might appeal to you romantically? Well, you just leave the
That's door a little open. Bit different. You can't help it.
Listen, I know people was in the Black Panthers and had a white mate, a white husband or a white wife, and they was in the damn Black Panthers. Come on. Back in the day, please. That's real. Right
that's
on.
Right. That's okay. Right. Right on. Hey. Oh, gosh, I think we're gonna get in trouble. Okay, so Ma, we are gonna do Naomi Knows Best this episode, but we will do it next week. We'll be back with that segment. And so everybody, email info@bambushihappyhour.com or allthingspeju.com to have my mom Naomi answer your letters. So Ma, we were talking about, we're not done yet. We're almost done, not yet. Right. So Bennifer is official, as we mentioned earlier. So, you know, it has many people wondering, should I get back with my ex? So this magazine, Stylist Magazine, says there are 5 questions you should ask before you do that, Ma. So the first question is, why am I making this decision? Number 2, why did the relationship end before? 3, what would I tell my best friend to do if they were in the same situation? Number 4, am I being real with myself? And finally, what has changed? Ma, would you ever get back with an ex?
Well, I did. I married an ex.
Yeah. Well, case studies suggest that people who get back with their ex are driven by a sense of self, kind of like their identity loss. And usually you should resist the impulse of getting back with yourself. So self-doubt, I'm sorry. You have a sense of doubt and identity loss. So once again, Ma, do you think it's a good idea to get back with your ex?
I think it works all kind of ways. Look, I think sometimes it works well. I think it's a crapshoot no matter what you do. I think that's the truth of it. I know, of a couple of people who have gotten back together after many years, and they've had, you know, marriages in the meantime and all that stuff, other relationships and mostly other marriages, and have gotten back together. And as far as I know, you know, are still together. So, I don't need to miss a toss up. To me, it's a toss-up. It just really just depends on a lot of things, you know, because there's been a lot of growth all the way around. So just really depends.
I think those are 5 really good questions to ask. And when you ask those 5 questions, I think those
answers... Well, the thing about it, you're asking yourself those questions, and guess what? Mm-hmm. You're going to get the answer that you want.
Well, it's also, how would you tell your best friend? But sometimes people tell their are really kind of filtered in what they tell their best friend because they don't want to hurt their feelings and they don't want to be too intrusive. I think in general, I think it's number 1 is the case by case assessment. And I think number 2, there's a reason why you broke up with that person, or that person broke up with you, why you aren't together. And you really, really and truly need to think about, am I just really feeling lonely? And that's a lot of people, when they're lonely and when they're vulnerable, they go back to exes. Doesn't mean that it can't be right sometimes, but a lot of times we go back to the ex
and for the wrong reason. And also,
familiarity.
And also, yeah, being comfortable, sure. But also there's the thing that they still, or maybe they really did love. I know in one case, I'm not saying this for me necessarily at all, but in one case I know of in particular, I think they really did. I think when they broke off with the ex, they really did love the ex, but, you know, were powerless to do anything about it. And so they went on and they moved far away and married somebody else and this and that, and stayed married and had a family and everything. And then many, many years later, they divorced, and the ex was also single. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the wife had died or they divorced. I forget. I'm not even really sure. But anyway, and they got back together and got married, and they are still together. And okay. I think she, and in particular, I know she did really love him. I don't think she was lost or lost herself or anything. I think she loved him all along. Okay. But he was not, it was a little bit, if he did love her, he wasn't ready to commit, and on and on and on. And she just moved on with her life. And so did he eventually, but she moved on even before him. So, I mean, there's a lot. And that's a whole lot. And it's not that simple as a 5-question assessment, because there's so many dimensions to our, and there's so many dimensions to our personalities and so on and so forth. A lot of times it's, you know, what we've, a dream unfulfilled, you know, that we had. And we think, well, let me see what the end is going to be. And sometimes, even though we know the end might be sad or tragic, sometimes we hope for a better outcome.
You're such a romantic, Ma.
You know, so you know.
You really are. You really are. You really
truly
are.
Don't you know that? Don't you know that? Don't you know that about me? Sure. And so, there's a whole lot. You know, there's a whole lot to assess. And really, it's about, do you want to, you know, it's about, are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to take the risk? Do you want to jump on in? And where you are in life, you know, what the risk is, and is it just you that you're risking? Are there children involved? You know, it really depends. You know, if it's just you, you can take the risk. If you have young children you're responsible for raising, then the risk assessment has to be different.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
So there's a lot of things involved, sweetie. There's a lot of things involved, but bam, you know, it's something for all of us to think about. And a lot of us don't have the opportunity. Some people are, you know, say, you know, the opportunity has presented itself again. Maybe I need to reassess, you know, so that also comes up.
Okay. So Ma, we're gonna, you know, tell everybody goodbye. Is there anything you want to say before, you know, we close out?
No, everybody take care and, you know, enjoy the wonderful summer weather and just be
safe. Not necessarily wonderful, but stay cool.
Well, in our case, it's a health hazard. Okay. Because it's gone so extreme, mm-hmm. but overall, you know, enjoy what you can of the weather and stay safe, stay hydrated. Don't underestimate, you know, the importance of being hydrated. It's very, very important. It can dramatically affect your health. So please, guys, drink up. You know, just drink now, everything except alcohol and caffeine. You know, stay hydrated. And take care until we talk again in the next couple of days or so. Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. Don't forget to subscribe to us, guys, on our YouTube channel at All Things Peju, and rate us, guys, on Apple. It really helps us to chart, so make sure you guys rate us on Apple. All right, guys, be safe. Okay. Bye.
Bye.